Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the Legit Boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it if you're watching this on YouTube and you want daily Going In Raw content. Your little notifications.
Yeah.
We're also available wherever fine podcasts can be found, including, of course, the CastBox app. We now have a partnership with CastBox. It's a fantastic way to check out podcasts. On this weekend, I was going through and just answering various comments using variations of our thanks, friendo.
Thanks, friendos.
Term.
Much obliged, friendo.
No, it was like, you know, oh, you guys are the best wrestling podcast. And I'd say, oh, we're the best wrestling. Thanks, friendo. Stuff like that.
Mm.
Leave
Much
a comment.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. Leave a comment so you can go in there. And so this is a great way to, if you really want to support Going In Raw, great way to do it. Go into the CastBox app.
Yeah.
Sub to Going In Raw.
That's right.
Free. The app is free.
Yeah.
Easy to do.
Yes.
And it helps support Going In Raw.
It does.
Also, if you're over on the Apple iOS podcast app, leave us a rating or review. It really
Please
does
do.
Help boost the profile of the show.
It is much appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely.
My phone.
I think you left it.
Oh, that's going to be a problem.
See if can you get through this whole show without having that darn phone in your hand?
We'll find out. We're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a wealth of reward tiers, including the $20 care package, friendo care package tier. Thanks, friendo. You get a comic book, some stickers, some postcard, and a poster with Mecha Santa on one side and that shitheel top
he's
notch
best.
On the other side. He is a shitheel, though. You have to admit
But he's
that.
The best.
But he is a shitheel.
But he's the best.
Anyway. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. I am wearing a TJ Perkins shirt right now.
I'm wearing a shirt from Seth Rollins Wrestling School.
I was about to get another one of those Black Craft Cult shirts that seem to do some Seth Rollins stuff from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
No.
I haven't been Hot Topic. I didn't get it. Instead, what did I get today? I got an Alice in Chains shirt and I got a Tool shirt.
Oh, what Alice in Chains shirt did you get?
I don't know, but it looks like something that both shirts look like something Big Jim would have worn.
I used to have an Alice in Chains shirt in high school.
So it's black and then it has, it might be an album cover design. I don't know. I wouldn't really know like off the top of my head.
Tell me what's on it.
It's just really abstract. It's like orange, red stuff and then like a dude's face kind of.
Oh, that might be their first album.
Maybe. I think so. I don't know. Anyways. I also got a really well-designed Tool shirt.
No.
Like, I'm not the biggest Tool fan in the world.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard you listen to Tool.
No, I used to listen to it all the time in the day. It's just I don't really go back to it that often.
Mm.
But I just really have really strong memories. Whenever Big Jim would pick me up for school, he'd always be either playing Tool or Fiona Apple. And or sometimes like Bad Religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, that looks like something he would have worn back in the day.
Yeah.
And so I picked that up as well.
Neat.
Because it's a really cool design on it. I'm like, I know Tool well enough. Now that I think about it, I don't know the names of any of their songs. But if you play with me one, I'll know if it's Tool or not.
All right.
Anyways. You're such a snob, you know.
No, I'm not. I just, you know, if you're a fan of some an artist, you should at least be able to name one of their songs.
I can name one of their songs. I know one of their songs is like a really creepy song, but it turns out it's just like a recipe for biscuits or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I know that about it.
But you know what it's called.
No, I don't. I don't think you need to. Name a Tool song.
Sober.
There you go. Sober. I know that. There you go.
Yeah, it's the most well-known song.
Yeah. I am not an imbecile. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know Tool well enough.
All right.
You don't have to know the name. You shut up. You're such a jerk. Why don't you just go? You do the show. Let me get my phone.
Well, this is how it's going to be. Then I'm not going to do this show because.
So indicative of the actual backlash.
Yeah. In short, it wasn't very good. Maybe it's because of the demands of WrestleMania plus the added demands of greatest, longest, largest Royal Rumble on the creative team. This felt, the show very much felt like an obligation, which it was, because I'm sure this was booked before Greatest Royal Rumble. I mean, like the actual date, the show itself, the venue, not the actual show itself, not the proceedings of the show. Like they booked the venue in advance, you know, probably sold tickets in advance, all before Greatest Royal Rumble was announced, which is only announced like 2 months ago.
Yeah, it felt non-canon. It felt less canon than the Greatest Royal Rumble. It wasn't as fun as the Greatest Royal Rumble.
If this was a network special of some special house show, it would have seemed more fitting.
That would have made total sense.
In fact, in a lot of ways, it felt like a house show.
Now, what you said is right, man. It felt like creative. After WrestleMania, there was a lot of stuff going on. WrestleMania is only a month old.
Mm-hmm.
It was like April 8th.
Mm-hmm. And we're not even a month old.
Yeah, we're coming up on May 8th, right? So right afterwards, they announced the Greatest Royal Rumble event. Okay, and that was like a couple weeks after Mania.
No, they announced it before Mania.
Okay, right, whatever. It was like right before Mania, though, right?
That they announced it. It was like February.
Okay, whatever. Anyways, so we knew that was coming up right after WrestleMania, right? But then, like, immediately after Mania, of course, you have the Raw after Mania, and then you had the Superstar Shakeup, which was 2 weeks later. And so 2 weeks later after that was the Greatest Royal Rumble. And then right after that is going to be Backlash, like, you know. And so you just have all this stuff where all these things are in play, and yet they didn't. I think one of my biggest issues is they didn't really. They had an opportunity to play things kind of interesting with at least the mid-card belts.
Yeah, they didn't do that.
No, they didn't do it. Like, because I was thinking, man, it'd be kind of cool if they had like both titles on Raw for like that week, because you had that opportunity at the Greatest Rumble. None of the titles switched hands at the Rumble. I mean, the Raw tag team winners were decided.
It was a vacant title.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So it went to a team.
Yeah.
But no titles changed hands. At this show, none of the titles changed hands. It's just everything was played just to keep everything in the status quo to a maddening degree. And so nothing changed. Like, I'm actually kind of surprised because some of the stuff that I had hoped they were going to do, and yeah, you called a lot of this pretty correctly, but I was just surprised that, like, they didn't do anything creative with this. Like, there was nothing interesting happening here. And in the end, like, nothing better comes from any of this.
No.
And nothing is forwarded.
No.
Like, Samoa Joe lost the Intercontinental Championship ladder match. Lost this match against Roman Reigns, and he thinks he's going to be in the main event scene?
I know, that's a huge problem.
Like, he looks like an idiot now. I mean, he was able to, you know, catch Roman Reigns off guard at the start before the match started.
Yeah, he sucker punched him, put him through the table.
Put him through a table.
And still can't win the match.
Which, by the way, didn't that, like, take Roman Reigns out of the vast majority of the 2014
when Russo
Royal
splashed
Rumble?
Him through the table, yeah.
Right, then he took a snooze for a while.
Yeah.
In this case, he was able to get on his feet to start the match, and then within about, I don't know, that was actually a pretty long match. Like a 15,
yeah, it was. There was a whole section in the middle of submission holds.
The best women's match was on the pre-card, was on the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley versus Ruby Riott.
Yeah, it was a decent match.
Ruby Riott, we kind of called this. Bayley went down the same way Sasha Banks did. Instantly, Ruby Riott's on Raw being booked better than they were on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
a
positive. That's good for them. I just wish, I mean, I know none of the, like, they were both women's title matches. They weren't going to get kicked to the pre-show for this, but I do kind of feel like, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. You know what? More stuff happened creatively in the kickoff show than happened, because at least we got one thing in the kickoff show. Miz Taraj told Miz to go
kick rocks.
Yeah. Beat feet, if you will.
Yes.
He said, no, we're not part of the Miz Charge anymore, so we're not going to help you beat Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best match of the night. That opened the card, Miz versus Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship. Again, this is the kind of thing that, because they said this match was happening, and granted, they've changed things before where something's announced, and because of storyline necessity, they will have to, you know, change the lineup of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
But they seem so set on making this match that we knew the entire time. Once Seth picked up that IC title, I wasn't going anywhere.
No.
You know, it was just going to stay around.
So you'll get, I mean, in this case, you got a pretty good match, solid match, that at first started out as a really good Raw main event, and then towards the end catapulted itself towards really good pay-per-view match.
Yeah, this was one of those matches that if it was on Raw, we would have said this is a like a big five pay-per-view match. And then when it landed on like the worst pay-per-view of the year, it was like, okay, this is a pretty good match.
Yeah.
And it was. Mm-hmm. I think my main problem with this match was what a lot of people in the live stream chat, which, by the way, thanks everybody
for sticking around
and being with us and making us laugh. And we had a good time and everything. But was the idea that, I mean, Seth is booked really, really strong, which I like. I just wish Miz was booked a little bit stronger.
I know. Seth kicked out of two skull-crushing finales.
And Miz didn't kick out of...
A stomp, no.
He didn't even get... Did Miz eat the cool knee?
No.
The...
Revolution knee. That cool knee.
The ring post.
The ring post ate a cool knee, yeah.
That was a cool bit. There are a couple of cool bits here. So, like, on the apron, Seth went for that cool knee, and Miz ducked it, and
the ring post ate
Seth
that cool knee.
Ended up hitting the ring post. And so that became the story for the rest of the match, but Seth was able to overcome his bum knee to get the stomp on the Miz. He attempted it once, missed, and then got it the second time.
Yeah, in between, like right after Seth hits the ring post, Miz puts on figure four. Mm-hmm. Seth gets to the ropes, eats two skull-crushing finales.
Yeah.
And then eventually hits the stomp. It was a really well choreographed.
No, it was
match.
It was a very it a was fun, it yeah. was very good. I just look, man, I like the Miz.
Oh, I do too.
I just think he should be booked a tad stronger than I saw here.
I agree. I agree.
But it was all in all, it was a really good match. It was better than just a Raw main event. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we had Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax. This was what it was. I mean, neither Alexa Bliss nor Nia Jax are the best wrestlers on the roster, but they put on a decent match.
Yeah, there was a stretch in the middle where Nia was just tossing Alexa Bliss around,
sort of ragdolling her a little bit. Yeah,
and the commentary was saying, "Well, this is Nia, you know, taking out her frustrations over the last, you know, number of weeks because of Alexa's behavior," which makes sense. But I kind of felt like it went a tad too far.
You think so?
Maybe. Like I was thinking, are they going to do like a double turn here or something?
No, this is a backlash, man. Nothing was
happening. No, I know nothing was going to happen. But by the time this is the second match of the card, I didn't know that. But it is, you know, it's one, I don't know. It seemed like it went a little, maybe a little far for a face to do.
Yeah.
To that degree.
I don't know. It wasn't like she burned her house down or anything.
Well, according to the Vince, that's a face move too.
Exactly. So I don't know. I didn't really take that. I mean, she's big and Alexa Bliss is small. Mm-hmm. So, you know. But there is a couple of cool moments here.
Oh, yeah.
Alexa Bliss. At one point, Nia Jax went up on the top rope, or on the turnbuckle, sort of going up to the top. And as she was going up there, she was sort of perched on the second rope. Towards the audience, Alexa Bliss got up. She had been prone. And she pushed Nia Jax off, and she went tumbling, hit the apron, hit the ground.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, whoa. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah, and Alexa went down there and DDT'd Nia on the top step of the ring step.
That was a cool moment.
Yeah.
I mean, they were both into it, so that was good.
Yeah. The finish saw Nia catch Alexa midair during a twisted Bliss attempt.
Yeah, that was cool.
Hits a Samoan drop for the win.
Yeah.
And then Nia gave an interview after the match.
This was probably about as good a match as I would expect in terms of their blow-off. Maybe there could have been a bit more fire here. I don't know. But yeah, Nia Jax gave a very PSA, you know, dun 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 dun, more you know, type thing, saying don't be bullied, don't be ordinary. She started; it was kind of a manifesto. She was saying, you know, being ordinary. She was starting to bully ordinary people at that point. She's like, don't be ordinary. Nobody wants to be ordinary. Be unique. Do be you.
Yeah.
You do you.
Yeah.
Wear a glowy thing around your collar.
No, that's be different.
Be different. Do be new.
Just be new.
Just be new.
Just be new.
But she said, be different.
Or it was all about just, you know, be happy.
Be yourself.
Who you are.
You
yeah.
do you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. In the little Rainbow Stark of
doon, 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 doon.
The more you know. Do you. Anyways, that's what Lacey's been saying a lot lately. She's what? Like, okay, fine. You do you. I get that. Anyways, next up, Samoa Joe interview.
It seemed like for a second he might have forgot what he was supposed to say, but he brought it back around.
Hey, you know what? He probably looked at this card and was like,
He looked at the whiteboard at Gorilla, and Jason Jett was like, yeah, no, nothing's happening on this card.
But then he masked that moment really well by acting like he was really relishing what he had just said before, like he was really enjoying what he was saying. Yeah. So it was
licked
great.
His lips. He was like, tastes so good, expired hot dog. Yeah, no. So he said he's going to beat up Roman Reigns, basically, but in very, very, very cool words.
Yeah.
Good words that he uses.
He's very well spoken.
Florid words.
Florid.
Florid. That's Florid. A good word.
Next.
He's very verbose.
This is going to be a really quick recap because there's not really much to talk about.
We're at 15 minutes already, man.
We're almost halfway through the card. Next, we had Randall Orton versus Jeff Hardy. Again, another decent enough match, I guess. That saw Jeff Hardy pick up the win, retain the U.S. title.
I mean, kind of...
What the heck is going on with
this? What are you doing with that? This is the backlash of a podcast right now.
Came undone.
Creatively, nothing's happening here.
Carry on.
There you go. Well done.
This is the loudest pop from Steve all day.
There you go. Yeah, I know, right? Anyways, I don't know. This was a decent enough match. I was kind of surprised they had Jeff Hardy go over like super clean.
Yeah, it was totally clean.
Like there was no RKO, nothing.
No
like
interference
that.
By anybody, nothing.
It was just two guys. Like Jeff Hardy, God bless his soul, that dude can still fly. There was that one shot that was cool where he literally just went
ran across the barricade or the apron or something
flew into frame.
Flew into Randall Orton. But in the end, Jeff Hardy pinned Randall after a twist of fate and Swanton.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that means Randall is out of the U.S. title picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. This next bit, it was an Elias promo.
Well, he starts with a guitar solo.
So this, like, thematically was just, you know, Vince vomiting the roster out to the stage.
Well, now that we're in the era of cross-brand pay-per-views, we get opportunities like this where superstars from Raw and SmackDown can be in segments together.
Yeah. Why wasn't Baron in this segment? Come on, man.
Do you think he has any musical talent?
Well, neither does Bobby Roode, and he punctuated it.
I don't know. He busted out some good dance moves.
No, he didn't.
All right, I was trying to be nice.
He busted out some, you're right, I'm sorry.
He busted out some
dance
moves.
I like Bob Roode, and he did.
He was all in on this dance move.
So it's like the worst for him, dude. It's so not playing to his strengths.
Remember that house show
I went
to
that
here?
That segment literally lowered his ceiling tonight.
Remember we went to that house show here the first time. I don't know if the first time they were in Sacramento for a house show, but the first one we went to. And the match was Bob Roode versus Noé José.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun.
And it was the first half of the match was Noé José essentially tricking Bob Roode into dancing.
Yeah, it was great.
And at times Bob Roode would dance kind of despite himself.
Yeah.
You know, and he realized he was doing it like, oh, damn it. You tricked me, Noé José, into dancing.
But Noé José is so infectious that exactly.
You know, so there's a story there, and you got to see Bob Roode dance, which is funny, and you can tell he's enjoying himself when he's doing it. Same time, he's in his heel character, and it worked. Happy, smiling Bob Roode coming out and dancing just doesn't have the same effect when you've seen that story play out in the ring.
Yeah, so anyways, Elias comes out there. He claims that he's great friends with Springsteen, and it's great, Elias. We love Elias. He can do no wrong. The New Day interrupt him. They give him some guff. He says, you know, you guys might have some chops. If you keep practicing, maybe one day you can open for Elias. But right now I'm in the middle of something. JoJo, let's start this again. Lights go down. She introduces Elias again. He's interrupted this time by Aiden English. He drops some bars on them. Rusev comes out. Elias says, you guys need to go away. Then Noé José comes out. He gets, you know, he interrupts. And then
Noé José had new gear.
Yeah, it was really,
it was like
really,
a combination of these two colors.
It was bright green.
Yeah.
Combination of what two colors? Oh, these. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was crazy green.
I don't know if it was TV safe. I might have caused some burn-in on people's television sets.
They were experimenting with the glow fabric from 2K18.
Oh, it could be. Yeah, it could be.
Any day now, we're going to get that.
Yes, in real life.
So anyways, you know, he comes out with his, you know, conga line or whatever it was. And then, you know, and Titus Worldwide's with him.
Yeah.
So more people from the roster are coming out. And then Elias says, dang it, all of you people are ruining my show. If I get interrupted one more time, and then, so what, did Bobby Roode's,
well, the lights went back down again, and then he's about to start. Piano hits. glorious lights come up, and Bob Roode teleported into the ring.
He quantum leaped there already.
Yeah.
Glorious DDT. He dances. They go up the ramp. The segment was like at least 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And look, it was fun, but there's an element of, like I said, they just sort of vomited a segment out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing. The best segments feel organic.
Yeah, and there's nothing organic about
this. This was just like, hey, who's sort of goofy entertainment people on our roster? Let's just throw them all out there together.
Well, I mean, there was, up until Bob Roode, some sort of theme. Well, actually, up until No Way Jose.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't sing or anything. He just dances
to music, at least. Yeah. There's a musical aspect to his gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
he has a good theme song.
Yeah. I guess Bob Roode has a musical aspect to his gimmick, in that his gimmick's entirely based around the chorus of his theme song.
Well, that literally is what Vince loves about him so much, is simply the theme song and the glorious stuff. And poor Bobby Roode is stuck in that. And in NXT, it was so great.
I know.
And on main roster, it's just in the clutches of Vince. And it's not good.
It's not good.
But he'll get, what is he on? He's on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, he's not getting that.
In a feud with Elias.
Which could be one or...
It could be fun.
Could be one or two, yeah. Could be, but it's not going to be... He's not sniffing that IC title anytime soon.
No.
Unless, yeah, if Seth goes up to the Universal title scene, that means Finn's going to have the IC title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob Roode's on the outside looking in.
Yeah, man.
Next, Daniel Bryan versus Cass.
Again, man, I thought this was a good opportunity for Cass to do something to prove his heel bona fides, and tapping out within moments of being
put in the yes lock.
Yeah,
isn't nearly instantly.
That?
No,
it really isn't.
And I kind of figured when we did predictions that this would be the finish, that Daniel Bryan would have him tap out, and then Cass would respond with a beatdown to kind of save some face, but.
The bottom line is, you still say, I mean, you're still looking at a loss right there.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, yeah, it was a long shot to think that Daniel Bryan might have lost a match, because every match is precious for them, and they're not going to, you know, if he goes back there and impact testing reveals that his brain is all messed up again, they're not going to want his last match to be a loss against Big Cass.
Yeah.
That might be the logic there. I mean, it's Daniel Bryan. You're going to want a big... But here's my thing. There's two matches that kind of, in my opinion, served a bit of the same purpose. Daniel Bryan versus Cass, and Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Two matches that really felt like gimmies, and turns out they were gimmies. I really thought that with Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, you had at least the recipe for something where Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who were such severe underdogs in terms of the physicality of the match, could have used their superior chemistry and brain power to eke out some sort of win, to manipulate the circumstances where you can still kind of make Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley look strong, be it a Bobby Lashley heel turn or some shenanigans or something. I don't know. But they didn't do that, and they didn't do that with Big Cass and Daniel Bryan. I thought Big Cass could have used that, like, some sort of win.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when he comes out on SmackDown on Tuesday, it's like, hey, if I have nothing, I'll put it this way. A win for Big Cass right now against Daniel Bryan means the world to him.
Oh, yeah.
A loss to Big Cass for Daniel Bryan doesn't mean dick.
Doesn't mean a whole lot.
Doesn't mean anything to Daniel Bryan. Like, he can eat a loss to Big Cass under typical heel circumstances and be totally fine and still win the world title at Mania next year or Survivor Series, whenever they're going to do it, because they're going to do that, assuming his impact testing keeps on going good. And so it just boggles my mind that it's like, yeah, I get it. He's Daniel Bryan, and, you know, he's going to be winning a lot these days. But, man, like, Big Cass, he's got the potential to be a pretty big deal in terms of a top heel over there, or a sub Nakamura, hopefully sub Almas heel. And, you know, like, they could have just given him this. It would have done nothing bad for Daniel Bryan. It would have done so much good for Big Cass.
I know.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Charlotte versus Carmella. Decent match.
Yeah, it was all right. That spot where Carmella reversed what Charlotte was doing.
Yeah, I say decent within the context of a Carmella match. Go ahead.
Reverse something into a code of silence on Charlotte was nice. It was a well-executed spot.
Yeah.
The finish saw Charlotte go for a moonsault. Carmella gets out of the way. Charlotte lands on her feet, sells a knee injury, and then it just takes one kick to that knee from Carmella and a roll up to score the win, whereas Seth wrestled half a match with a knee injury too.
Yeah, this was unfortunate. So I was just saying how like a win. I'm gonna defy my own logic here, because I feel like this win for Carmella should feel like a lot bigger.
I know.
Charlotte just broke Asuka's undefeated streak.
I know.
And then Carmella just went over Charlotte cleanly.
No, clean. Yeah. She didn't cheat.
Yeah.
She got out of the
way. When I say cleanly, I mean clean. She literally beat Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's a bit weird.
I know.
Like, I'm still trying to process it, and it should be a much bigger deal.
I know.
Like, this feels like it should have had the iconic. Again, when I want Big Cass to pin to beat Daniel Bryan, it has to be dirty. It has to be with some heel machinations.
You have to feel like the face has the odds overwhelmingly stacked against him.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Or play out a mini version of what they had planned for Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Brock Lesnar is completely overwhelms Daniel Bryan and completely destroys him.
Yeah.
Now, I don't necessarily want that for Big Cass because he's not Brock Lesnar. But, you know, if you add in, I don't know, a chair shot, something where the ref isn't looking, mm-hmm. something, and mm-hmm. then go from there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that would have, you know, done really good for Big Cass. But it's weird, like a clean win over Charlotte should mean a lot more than I just kind of feel like it means right now. Like,
I know.
It just feels that should have been reserved for like a big moment.
I agree.
You know, if they were going to go that route. I don't even know they should have.
And I understand they're trying to establish Carmella as champion.
Yeah.
But you just, I don't know.
Because didn't we both kind of figure that Charlotte would go undefeated?
Yeah, we thought she wouldn't have like a clean loss between...
She wouldn't have a clean loss between now and Mania 35.
Yeah, for her program against Ronda Rousey, yeah.
Right.
And she eats a clean loss less than a month after Mania.
On a shit pay-per-view?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why not have the Iconics show up, help Carmella win? They've established that relationship already. Yeah, it would have made a ton of sense. It would have really upped the odds in Carmella's favor. And made Charlotte a serious underdog. So when they have the eventual rematch, you know, there's extra heat on Carmella because she has the numbers game to her advantage.
I mean, I didn't even notice, were there tights being pulled?
No.
No, right?
It was a kick to the knee.
Yeah.
And this is weird. It bugs me sometimes when they try to tell similar stories, at least for the finish, and then there's such a disparity in how the injury angle is treated.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, whoever kind of comes up on the short end of that does a disservice to their loss.
Yeah.
I mean, because both Seth and Charlotte are faces. Mm-hmm. They both suffer, you know, kayfabe, a knee injury during the match. Seth can fight through it. Charlotte can't. Mm. It literally just takes one knee tweak, a kick to the knee, and she gets pinned.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous booking.
I know. It's just it's inconsistent. Next up, we had Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles. I would say this was kind of on par, but a bit better, maybe, than their Rumble match.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like the Rumble match had more intensity. Well, this match kind of had a more meticulous pace until AJ took a chair to the face. And that seemed to light a fire. I felt like AJ just, I don't know, he kicked it up a level or two after that.
Yeah, well, blood will do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a bit where Nakamura goes for a Kinshasa. AJ threw the chair to intercept it, but that kick landed on the chair, which landed back on AJ's cheek.
Yeah,
busted him open.
The top edge of the back to the chair, it looks like it hit AJ in his like left cheekbone.
I don't know. Like, I can look it up real quick, but
and so he got
I
busted open
like
and started bleeding everywhere.
I feel like this is a bit on the longer side than the Rumble one.
It could be,
and maybe that's why. Because I don't know. I thought I liked the finish here. I mean, the finish wasn't just them jacking around outside. The finish saw two dick kicks, basically.
Yeah, front area kicks.
Two front area kicks, exactly. So maybe that puts it a step above in my
estimation.
In my estimation, exactly. Let's see here. The Greatest Rumble, that match was just over 14 minutes.
This felt about the same.
Backlash 2018. Let's see if Wikipedia has us already. There we go. Let's see if the results are up. Let's see if they have the time.
Well, if someone added it.
Results. Right.
No, 21 minutes.
Yeah, so it was right. Yeah. So that's why it felt
about
longer.
5 minutes longer, 6 minutes longer.
Yeah.
Wow, see, the Carmella Charlotte was only 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
So like the Seth match.
Shortest was, match on the... No, Daniel Bryan, big cast was only...
7.5, 7:45.
7:45, yeah.
That's crazy. Like if they had an extra 4 minutes of the Carmella match, where she had to... Like Charlotte had to work through that knee injury and Carmella kept exploding that injury, then it would have made a lot more sense, you know? But just, you know, one landing, one tweak of the knee and a kick, and then Charlotte gets pinned. It's,
I wish I knew how long that Elias segment was.
It's probably the second longest segment in the whole thing.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, Nakamura goes to Kinshasa. AJ grabs a chair that Nakamura put in the ring earlier, throws it at the Kinshasa to block it. Instead, the chair ricochets off Nakamura's leg, smacks AJ right in the face, starts bleeding everywhere.
Yeah. I feel like, so I guess my perspective is this. Between that, between the extended calf crusher sequence, which I thought was really good, so there was some of that stuff. There's a bit more focus than the Rumble one, which was just like brawling. And then there was all the dick stuff. I think that's why I rated better than the Rumble match.
I don't mean none of them, neither of them were exemplary.
No, they weren't.
They were decent. It's like the Rumble one. They just came out with a different level of intensity.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like.
Yeah.
Like they just couldn't wait.
This one started out hot. This one started out like that. But it kind of quickly went into holds.
Yeah.
They went into holds for a spell.
Mm-hmm.
And then this chair thing happened.
Yeah. And it seemed like AJ got mad or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or just pain.
So, pain anyways, fired him up. Let's see here.
There's that calf crusher spot where AJ puts Nakamura in a calf crusher for a while, but Nakamura reverses it into a triangle, and then AJ picks him up. Try goes for a Styles Clash. Nakamura gets the ropes and holds on, so he can't do it. Later on, AJ goes for another Styles Clash. Nakamura hits him with a low blow. AJ
almost immediately
hits his own low blow on Nakamura.
So that was good. They're both down. They're down until like the I think around 7 or 8
for the standing 10 count. Yeah,
exactly. They get back up and then they go a bit more at it and then double nut kicks and then neither can answer the standing 10 count and in a DQ if you can't get up or I'm sorry, in
it's not a DQ match. It's comparable to a count, a double count out essentially.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
If you can't enter the ref, then they won't continue the match.
Yeah.
So it's like a ref stoppage.
Yeah. Exactly. So I mean I like it in the fact that. I like it in the fact that it continues. It's a way to continue the feud.
Yeah.
I feel like this wasn't, and I get why this wasn't because of that finish. I suppose
it wasn't the main event.
I guess that's why it's the main. It wasn't the main event.
Well, it's not like the end of the main event set the crowd home happy either.
Yeah, I know, but there was a finish there. I mean, this would have been a terrible end to a card.
Well, no, if they'd done this. Then neither of them could answer the ref's standing 10 count. Somebody gets up and there's some action afterwards.
Yeah.
Like if AJ had hit a Styles Clash or a phenomenal forearm or something like that.
Yeah.
Like he was angry about the finish and did that. Then the crowd might have went home a bit happy. It's a bit of a TV, like a SmackDown finish. But
yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
It's not like they're leaving with a ref stoppage, you know?
Right.
Next, Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley taking on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. This match had some story development, just not in the direction we were hoping. In that there, once again, things seem to indicate a split between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
So Sami Zayn's getting his butt handed to him, getting beat up. And so he tries to leave the match. He's like, come on, Kevin, let's get out of here.
Keeps on telling, let's get out of here.
Yeah. And Kevin Owens is like, no, we're going to stay in there and fight. Which seemed like a weird, not a really Kevin Owens response to what's going on, you know?
Right, yeah.
And Sammy's like, okay, you're right. And then ends up swerving Kevin Owens and throws him back in the ring.
Well, maybe Kevin Owens just really realizes. Because I don't know, is Sami Zayn married?
I don't know.
They're in good line. That should be the motivation then. Because Kevin's like, look, I almost just lost my job. My wife would be furious with me. You're single. What do you care? You're building, hospital caravans in your home country. I have a kid to feed. Maybe that's his motivation. In any event, he kept on saying, let's go back. At one point, Sami Zayn slapped Kevin Owens.
So they go back out again after Owens is in the ring for a while. Owens gets out. He tosses Sami Zayn in the ring.
Yeah.
And then Sami slaps Kevin Owens. And then Bobby Lashley and Strowman go to work on Kevin Owens. Lashley pins Owens after a stalling suplex.
And then the commentary starts. They start going on about, well, was he even the legal man? I don't know. Was he the legal man? I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird.
So I don't know why that was all about.
I don't know why that would really matter in the story they're trying to tell in this match with the split between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. What does it matter?
Yeah, I know. In any event, they both ate power slams from Braun Strowman.
Yeah. I feel like the crowd didn't respond to any of it.
Yeah.
Usually when Braun power slams somebody, people pop. But maybe there was one for Owens. There definitely wasn't much response for Zayn.
Yeah.
It just felt tacked on. Like, here, we're going to tack this on at the end of the match to make the fans happy.
And I told you this. I told you this about Bobby Lashley, how I feel about him. Number one, I really like Bobby Lashley, mm-hmm. mainly from what I saw from the short time I was doing Impact reviews, and I might pick them back up. But there was a lot. Bobby Lashley was doing really, really good character work in his final run in TNA or in Impact, and I want to see that from him here, and I just kind of wonder if him as a face in the WWE, I think he could transition to a heel better than somebody else coming in like yeah. that, because his run in WWE was so long ago.
Yeah, it was more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, that, you know, the honeymoon period for him as just the guy that people cheer for is probably going to, unless they do something really, really drastic with him to have him be really relatable to the crowd, which I think they did in Impact. But if they give him character stuff where he's really relatable, then he can get over as a face. But I think it's probably more beneficial, because they have Braun as this big face there, to turn Lashley heel. And I thought, well, this could be one way to do that, mm-hmm. you know, during this match, because mm-hmm. it would be something. But instead, they're just sort of their buddies, and they like to beat things up, and that's great. That's fine. But,
yeah.
You know, it's not really compelling.
No.
So there's that. Next up, for the main event, we had Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. Before the bell even rang, Samoa Joe
sucker punches Reigns. Takes the fight to the outside, puts Samoa Joe through the announce table, and then tosses him over the other two that are sitting there ringside. Action gets back in the ring. You know, Joe, he's ready to start the match.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's on the precipice of beating Reigns. The referee is going to Roman Reigns, "Do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Are you capable of wrestling this match? Do you want to fight Samoa Joe still?" Eventually, he gets up and says, "Sure thing. It's
sure
my yard,
thing, man. I'm good."
Ref rings the bell, and this is bad booking. Rather than Joe just go on an onslaught of, like, instantly put him on the top rope, go for muscle buster, something, put him in the coquina clutch, something. Mm-hmm. There's a couple strikes, and then we're in a protracted, like, series of headlocks and double wrist locks.
Yeah.
And it just saps the energy, because it started out fun yeah. for the paid people in attendance that bought tickets to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who sat through this show
mm-hmm.
for, you know, the 3 hours previous.
Yeah.
We were all hyped the prospect of Joe maybe winning. If you're going to try and tell a story of flawed strategy from Joe, bad idea.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to communicate unless people start pointing that out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, is AJ going to say on SmackDown after Joe reiterates that he wants a WWE title shot, "Hey, Joe, maybe you should rethink your strategy and not do a bunch of rest holds on Samoa Joe after you lay him out before the match starts." Anyways, so we get a bunch of that, which is all the prelude to Roman Reigns making his inevitable comeback.
Yeah.
Which happens.
Yeah. So Joe has Roman in a coquina clutch, and he starts to pass out. Now, you had originally predicted...
Oh, this is... You're getting way... Let's talk about this spot where Joe kicks Roman Reigns square in the head.
That's right.
Reigns completely no-sells.
I thought that was the finish. Okay, no, you're right.
Completely no-sells. Hits a spear on Joe. Joe is just close enough to the rope.
He kicks him in the head. Roman... Okay, so here's the thing. We didn't see what Roman's face looked like after he got kicked in the head. I imagine he did the dazed face thing. From our perspective, looking at it on TV, we were behind him. The camera was behind him. It literally just looked like Roman Reigns walked away from the kick and walked back to him to hit the spear.
But it was all within a matter of a second and a half.
I know.
It wasn't
know.
Like he stumbled to the ropes to collect himself.
He walked. Yeah. Well, it was a quick walk, but it was
Yeah,
a
it was
walk.
A matter of a couple steps.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Anyways, he spears Joe. Joe puts his foot on the rope.
Roman goes for the drive-by outside. Joe catches him.
It was a cool spot.
Yeah, in the coquina clutch, drags him back in the ring. He has him locked in. You know, he has the grapevine around the waist.
Mm-hmm.
Full control with the headlock aspect of it. Roman is fading. It looks like he's out. The ref kind of pokes his hand. The hand's limp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why the match wasn't stopped right there?
Yeah.
They gotta really be much more consistent about ref stoppage.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, it's not like the UFC is.
No, I know. But, like, you know, back in the old days, if someone looked like they were fitting, they'd raise their arm three times.
Yeah, they don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's consistent and it's definitive.
Yeah, that's true.
That if that arm falls the third time, you stop the match.
Yeah, but dude, come on. If they still did that, you know what would happen. It would go one, two, and then with Roman.
Oh, I know.
It would be the same result.
No, I know. I just want consistency.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it looks like someone's in a move or, you know, looks like they're passed out for a matter of a couple seconds and they stop the match. And like this, where Reigns is like this.
Yeah.
And his hand's limp.
The difference, though, is that the ref knows it's Roman Reigns. So he's like, oh, this guy, he can accept more punishment.
This is his yard.
I'm in his yard, so obviously I'm not going
to stop
this
match. I will defer to Big Dog.
Exactly, yeah.
When I'm in his yard.
I assume that it's going to take his face turning purple for me to stop this match, and he'll probably be dead at that point.
When he's vomiting blood, at that point, I will ask for the bell.
Exactly. So Roman does the most, because I was like, he's going to Hulk out here, isn't he? Because I was hoping that your original scenario of him passing out and thus looking strong, I guess, would have been like the way to go.
Well, at least
we all knew.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Reigns suffers nothing by passing out to a coquina clutch from Samoa Joe. It adds potentially dimension and depth to his story that whenever
God forbid they do that.
I know. Whenever he does beat Brock Lesnar for that Universal title, there's an arc where he's at he's the crisis confidence thing. And I know I say that too much, but Roman has to rediscover what made him successful in the first place to ultimately conquer the beast.
Yeah,
there's a story there.
It was way past any hope of that.
Oh, I know. But him just beating Joe does nothing for Roman Reigns. Adds zero dimension to his character. Ooh, he fought back again with the odds stacked against him. He's done that a million times. That's nothing new. And you have Joe going to SmackDown, going to AJ, saying, I want a piece of you to get that title. And he's coming off back-to-back losses.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look good for Joe.
No, it doesn't. No, it looks terrible for Joe, who's like a marketable guy.
Yeah, he's the best talker in the company, probably.
Yeah, he is.
He's great in the ring.
What was so cartoonish was Roman's actual comeback face, because he's like dead, and he goes like that. It's terrible. It was so bad. Gets up, Superman punch spear probably, right?
Well, no Superman punch.
Was there a Superman punch there?
No, just a spear.
Just a spear, okay. So, yeah, it was not what we were hoping for.
Kind of what we were expecting, but not what we were hoping for.
But if we had a chart with string and pictures, Roman is back to being top face guy.
Yeah.
Like, this is
evidence. He's still the guy.
He's still the guy, this Brock thing. Might culminate at Money in the Bank, I guess. I mean, him versus Brock. He's probably going to beat Brock there. Although at this point, I'm kind of thinking I'm not going to bet against Brock. I'm not going predictions against Brock again.
I know.
This is what I'm going to do from now on. Whenever we get another Brock Roman match, I'm going to bet on Brock, and I'm going to go one confidence point. Mm-hmm. One confidence point. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm going to do.
Now I'm going to go Roman with two confidence points.
There you go. Because Until it happens. And here's the thing, at Money in the Bank, I really hope it is they do the Shinsuke thing that you've talked about. But I don't know. So it's not going to be. Yeah, I don't know. You don't think? I don't think at Money in the Bank are they going to do a WrestleMania 31 thing? They can't, right? There's no way. Because then the Roman experiment will just continue on
in perpetuity. And that might be what Vince wants.
Oh,
he refuses to let the fans change his mind.
Yeah.
Long term. Yeah. Might happen at WrestleMania 31, but he will not be broken.
Yep.
Do you want to review our predictions? I won.
No, I completely
35-28. I love this one. Will Joe be involved in the main event? I gave us each point because he was in the main event. We are under the impression that AJ versus Nakamura would be the main event.
Why wouldn't it be? It's a WWE
title.
WWE title,
the Universal title, wasn't being defended on the show. So why isn't the top title on SmackDown main event of the show? Still don't know.
Yeah.
You want that finish. There's ways around it. Oh, wait. Roman Reigns has the main event every show.
Yeah. So we're going to go home now.
It's been a long day.
Hey, I had a good time during the live stream.
Oh, yeah. We made it fun.
Yeah, that was fun. All the friendos made it fun.
Yeah.
But, not the strongest showing. I do kind of appreciate that we have a full 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Between now and Money in the Bank. We should do, we haven't talked about this. We haven't talked about this. We should do, like, at the end of this month, we should do a live stream.
Of what?
On a Sunday. I don't know, something. Because we're not going to have another like live stream, like a pay-per-view live stream for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so we do something.
How about this? Mm. Well, it kind of depends because we'll talk about it later.
All right.
Dominion, early June.
Wow, that is late at night. Is what night is that on?
June 9th. Let me see what day it is.
Yeah, what day is that on?
That is a Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, we can give it some long, hard thought.
It's 8 days before Money in the Bank.
We'll give it a lot of thought.
Yeah.
We'll give it a lot of thought. All right. Cool. All right. Well, anyways, that's it for show. Hilton, do you have... Hilton's not even here. Sunday night, Hilton's at home.
Yeah.
Good for him. No music. That's it for the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Oh, we'll be live tomorrow.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. Cool.
We'll see you around noon or so. 11:30, something like that.
Yeah, about 12, 13, 14, 15 hours. Goodbye.
Bye.